Please take out your study guides if you'd like to follow along that way, and also turn to Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. And while you're headed there, I'd like to ask a very present, pressing, urgent question. Big questions in the world today. Here's one of them. Does Hawaii have moths? We do. Well, I was told recently that there weren't any here, but right after hearing that, I saw one flitting by. So, let's test your zoological knowledge about those creatures. Are moths really big? Not normally, but some South American moths, they can get big. Yeah, very big, but not normally. Are they scary? Are moths scary? No, not really scary. Do they make a lot of noise? Do they roar? Do they hiss steam or fire? No. Do they dent car windows or smash through buildings? No, a definite no to all those things. They're small and silent, and when you're outside, you hardly notice them as they go by. By the way, do you know butterfly is not the correct word for its little cousin, moth cousin, butterfly? The original term for a butterfly was flutterby. But people kind of got dyslexic with it, and so they said, just leave it and call it butterfly. But it makes more sense, flutterby. Well, no, moths aren't any of those things, but did you know that of all the great names God has called in Scripture, including a sacrificial lamb and a conquering lion, did you know that He's also called a... I set you up. A moth! How many knew that? God is also called a moth. Have you ever heard it declared by a preacher in the pulpit that God is the great moth who's come to save us? Oh, dear moth who art in heaven, have you ever heard someone pray like that? But I'm not joking. I'm not even trying. It's in there. I'm not joking. During a time of great prosperity, Israel began to backslide, and God rose up the prophet Hosea to warn them. Then, in verse 12 of chapter 5, God says He will be to Ephraim, or the Israelites, like a moth. He will be to Israel like a moth. That's the first fill-in. And I wondered, when Hosea came up, we have this picture of prophets as being stern, austere men. You know, they're out there with their very provocative, strong message from God. So Hosea gets up, he says, watch out! If you don't turn around from this backsliding, God will come to you like a moth! Well, if I said that to you, what would your reaction be? I imagine because prophets, they were so used to prophets speaking in such stern language, their immediate reaction may have been something like, oh, no, Lord, anything but a moth. Why would you do that to us? And then they said, wait a minute. Why are we knocking our knees together? What's a silly moth going to do to us? If God wants to come as a moth, let Him come. Well, okay, I'm glad you're into it, James. Glad you're into it today. Not sleeping is normal. That's very good. All right. He never sleeps. Yet, just as they began to breathe a sigh of relief, two verses after that, God also said He would be to them like a what? Rawr, like a lion. So here we go from moth to lion. And you got to be thinking, what's going on here? Now, I don't know about you, but I think a moth and a lion seem pretty far apart. So what's the meaning of these strange similes here? These strange words, and what do they have to do with our current series on hearing God's voice? This is our fifth in a series of messages on hearing God's voice and knowing His will. And that's real vital to know because we're living in the end of times. I believe the Bible is clear on that. And what does the Bible say about living in the end of times? The devil knows he hath but a short time left, so he goes about seeking whom he may devour. We know that as the end times, as we go further into the time of the end, we can expect greater delusions, greater false miracles, greater false workings. That means greater false voices. We can expect that things that we could see, touch, hear, we may not even be able to trust those things. We have to solely test everything ultimately by what? By the Word of God. So we want to learn how to discern God's voice, the true voice, from the false ones. That's why this series is so important. Not just for daily Christian growth, not just for knowing which car should I buy, but so we follow the shepherd's true voice in these last days. So that's why we're here. Well, how do we do it? What does a moth and a lion have to do with hearing God's voice? Well, the Israelites were on a downward spiral away from God. They were moving further and further apart from Him, so He sent out a warning shot over the bow. He said, "Look, come back to me. Let me love you and take care of you." Those were loving words. Those were warm words. God spoke to them first, as soft as a moth. As softly as a moth. But then God said, "If you reject my appeals, then I will have to act more strongly and come to you as a lion." So I'm coming to you first as gently as a moth. But if you don't respond to that, I'm going to have to come strong as a lion. You see, God's first choice in guiding us is to simply nudge us in the right direction. That's the next fill-in. Nudge. He doesn't want to have to roar to be heard. Kids, every time your mom or dad asks you to do something, do you want them, "There, I told you to do so"? Would you like them to communicate that way? No. Would you like your parent, your teachers to communicate that way? Of course not. Well, God doesn't want to do that to us. He wants to gently nudge us in the right direction. And look, if you open your closet door and a moth fluttered out, you'd hardly notice it. But if a lion was in there and roared, you'd really take notice, right? You see, it's a beautiful thing to be led by the Holy Spirit. As feathery as a moth, God tries to show us the best way. His preference is not to chase us like a lion, but He will be strong to call us back when we stray, because He wants to save us from self-destruction. Are you glad that God sometimes comes to us as a lion? I'm thankful for that, but He prefers to come to us as a moth. Listen to this. Insensitive people wait for the lion to come before they believe God is speaking to them. Ever heard someone say, "If God doesn't want me to do this, if He doesn't want me to be with this boy or this girl, if He doesn't want me doing this activity or that activity, then He needs to send something real strong and make it clear. He needs to stop me." Have you ever heard someone pray that kind of prayer? It's almost as if they're daring, taunting God to step in. Well, let's go to 2 Samuel 14, because I want to give you a great example of this moth-lion approach concerning guidance. All right? Concerning God's guidance. I think there's a great example here. 2 Samuel chapter 14. In this story, King David has a rebellious son. For a Sabbath shekel, anyone remember his name? Absalom. That's right. Absalom. He was kind of in exile there. He tried to get a message to his father through Joab, but Joab would never come to him so he can give him the message. He wouldn't come. He sent messengers again. "Come on, Joab, Absalom wants to see you." He wouldn't respond. Finally, Absalom sent his servants to do what? Anybody remember? Set his barley fields on fire. Did that get his attention? Sure, he came back to Absalom. He showed up. "What are you doing? What'd you do that for?" And Absalom said, "Look, I repeatedly sent for you, but you wouldn't come. So as a last resort, I set your fields on fire to try to get your attention." It reminds me of, I think it was in Japan. I don't think it was. I think it was Japan where a man saw a tsunami coming, and he was way up on the mountaintop, and the rice farmers were down below near the coast, and they couldn't tell. And so finally he set their fields on fire. I don't have all the details right, but whatever he did, it was only by setting their fields on fire that they were warned. What'd you do that for? Well, it saved their lives. Well, God has to set our fields on fire sometimes. But let's be clear. Is God out to make our life miserable? Is Christianity like God saying, look, I've got a plan, and if you don't follow my particular plan, I'm just going to mess your life up. Is God like that? No. Is a loving parent like that? No. God's not out to make trouble, but here's what He will do. Because He loves us, He will put some warning lights there to let us know that we're going down the wrong track. Now, we don't, like we said last time together, we don't always see those warning lights because we're so set on our own agenda that we don't recognize them. He puts stop signs up, but because we've got it in cruise control, we go right through them. But God tries to do that. All right. Now the question is, how do we listen to God when He speaks to us as a moth so He doesn't have to come to us roaring as a lion? How many of you would like to know that today? How many of you would like to listen to God as a moth and just be guided by His gentle nudges? Let's look at that. First off, God doesn't play games with us. He's not like a teacher who tries to make a test as hard as they can for the student, daring them to do well. No, God wants us to know His will. He wants us to know His will, and that's why the Bible says God is not the author of what? Confusion. How many of you, be honest, have thought, I prayed and prayed and prayed, but God never speaks back to me? He's never telling me what course to take next. It's just not coming through. I've had that experience. I think we all have had to some degree. But the truth is, God is speaking. And we've already talked about many of the ways God speaks. In fact, in Old Testament times, when God wanted to lead His people as a whole, He did it in two very clear ways. It was very clear. The first way He did was a cloud by day or fire by night. And wherever the cloud went, they followed. What was the second way He led His people as a whole? When they had more specific questions about things, what did they do? Urim and Thummim on the high priest vest, right? And it lit up depending on a yes or no answer. All right, let me ask you then, where is the cloud today? The cloud led the Israelites in Old Testament times, showed them what to do. Where is the cloud today? Where is it gone so we can know its guidance? Well, first of all, I want to teach you today about following the inner spirit. We've already talked about God's Word, and we're going to go back to that. But God also speaks to us through our spirit. This is a realm that many Adventists get nervous about. Oh, I'm going to speak to my spirit, and how do I know? Yes, we haven't come to the part yet in this series about discerning false from true spirits. We're going to get to that. But it doesn't negate the fact that God does speak to our spirit, okay? He still does. Now, do people hear false spirits? Yes. We're going to get to that another time. But the truth is, the fact is, the cloud has gone within. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the depths of his heart. You see, the way God speaks to us and leads us is first through our spirit. But that means we have to be spirit conscious in order to hear God's voice and receive His direction. Look at this verse, this next verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. I believe it's in your notes. Paul says, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying here? Our spirit, soul, and body can all be made holy. Now, do we have a soul? No. We do not have a soul. We are a soul. Our breath of God and the body makes a soul, right? It's tricky, though. It's a tricky question. Okay? But within our body soul is a spirit that God connects with us. And those things get processed through our mind. When do we receive God's spirit? At the what? At the new birth. All right? We receive God's spirit. We receive that spiritual equipment to relate to God at the new birth. So God moves our spirit. It gets processed through our mind. That's important to know because Ephesians 3:16 says that God would grant you to be strengthened with might through His spirit. Where? In the inner man. What's the inner man? Is it our heart that beats? Is that our inner man? No. Is it our intestines? That's not the inner man. Is it any part of our flesh? No. Is it the brain chemicals and the synapses and neurons in our mind? No. The Bible calls it a spirit. It is not a ghost spirit. It is a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, in our remaining time, we're quickly going to look at four aspects of God speaking to our spirit. And I have been doing some wonderful reading lately. Jensen Franklin has great material on this. There is nothing non or un-Adventist about these things. So the Spirit, though it be a new realm to Adventist, it is biblical. First of all, what about our spirit? Your spirit can be stirred. So the Bible says. The Bible says your spirit can be stirred. Paul waited at Athens. His spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. True or false, can your spirit be stirred for God? God stirs someone's spirit to become a missionary. You ever heard of the Moravians? The Moravians in the 1700s were a group from Europe, Christians, who wanted to become missionaries, but something stirred within them. We've got to bring the gospel to the world. How are we going to do it when people are so inaccessible? What did the Moravians do? God's Spirit led them, stirred them to come to the new world here. And they sold themselves as slaves to become missionaries to slaves. Some of them purposely contracted leprosy so they could become missionaries to lepers. God stirred their spirit and said, gave them a greater vision than just being a nice witness at work. He said, we got to get the gospel to the world. God stirred their spirits. He can stir you to make a move or to accept the call or to become like a Ben Carson and do something great for God or to start a children's ministry in your church. To do all kinds of things, God can stir your spirit. He can move upon you. I remember one time God stirred my spirit. Ever heard of the Cole Porter program, the literature evangelist? I don't even know if they have them here. Why? But I was a student Cole Porter, and I was selling Bible story books and all those kind of things door to door in Kansas one summer while I was going to Union College. But we had a rough time. Twice our group got picked up by the police and brought in because of some ordinance that said you're not allowed to go door to door, only nonprofits. Well, we were a nonprofit, but it took some time to prove that paperwork to them. We had all kinds of obstacles thrown at us. One day, I was working with my student leader. We were discouraged because for 2 weeks we hadn't sold anything. We were having all these problems. We went to a 7-Eleven store and drank our problems away with Gatorade. After we drank the Gatorade, we pulled up to some neighborhood. I said, Lauren, stop here, to my student leader. You see those kids? This is a good place to stop because there's kids playing out in the streets and kids, Bible story books. Let's stop here. He said, okay. He got out of the car he was about to get out of the car, and just as he was getting out of the car and I was opening the door handle, all of a sudden my spirit was stirred within me. I said, Lauren, stop. Said, yeah? I'm going to tell you this now so when it happens you believe that God told me. Yeah? We're going to get two sets of Bible story books and one set of Mrs. White's books out today, and maybe my Bible friends. but for sure, those things. Two sets of Bible story books, one set of Ellen White's books. He looked at me and he said, "It has been rough, John, hasn't it?" No, that's what the way he looked at me. And I was calm. I said, "Let's go." So we went, knocked on the door where the kids were playing. The lady said, "You know, these Bible story books, I ordered these a long time ago. No one ever showed up. I'll take these Bible story books for my kids." We said, "Well, praise God." She said, "Come inside. We're actually, my husband's a pastor. He has a television program. We're at our church member's house. Come inside." I said, "Okay." We came inside. The man started looking at Ellen White's books. And he said, "These would be fantastic for my ministry." He was a full gospel charismatic minister on television. And he said, "These books would be great for my kids." Now, that was one set of Bible story books and one set of Ellen White's. But what was there left? One more Bible story set. Remember I told you they were at their church member's house? The pastor took our demonstration materials and he said to his member, "Do you think these books would be a blessing to your kids?" And the guy said, "Yeah. You should get these books." He said, "Oh no, we could never afford them." He said, "Let me ask you again," he said to his member, "Do you think these books would be a blessing to your kids?" He said, "Yeah." "Then don't you think God will provide a way for your kids to be blessed?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You can evangelize the whole neighborhood with these books." He said, "Get the books." I never said a word to this guy. I never said a word. So the guy said, "You know what? These books would be a blessing." There it was. Two sets of Bible story books. One set of Mrs. White's books. Exactly like God stirred my spirit to believe and to pronounce. I'm no prophet, not at all, but God stirred my spirit to do that. By the way, do you remember what I said at the beginning? Maybe my Bible friends? It was about 4 years later. No, not even that long. Yeah, three years later. I was at Andrews University in seminary. I was in an elevator. All of a sudden, that incident came to mind. I said, "God, I've never figured that one out. Maybe my Bible friends, how could you be so specific?" Just like he was with Gail's situation. "Maybe my Bible friends?" "Yes. You see, John, it was so clear. It was up to you. It was all up to you whether or not you asked. That's why I said maybe. But you never asked. It was up to you." You see, God is so clear. He wants to speak with us. He stirs our hearts. And you don't have to be a prophet. I'm certainly not. But you just have to be open and God will speak to you. Just like he told me, Gail was a Japanese girl going into Japan to be a student missionary. And I wouldn't believe it. But she was. Then he stirred my spirit to pray that I would meet her after 26 years. No idea who that girl was. And 1 month later, I met her when we found out. Remember, I told you the story that it was Gail. So God can stir your spirit and make these things so clear. Let's go on. Number two, another aspect of God working with our spirit. One says that Paul purposed in his mind to go to Jerusalem. You see that? Is that what it says? Paul purposed in his mind to go to Jerusalem. No. Paul purposed in his flesh. No. Paul purposed in his spirit to go to Jerusalem. Did you know Jesus said in John, those who worship God must worship Him in flesh and truth? Did you know that? No, he said those who worship God must worship Him in brain, mind, and truth. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, to worship God only with our mind is say, because I believe the right things, I'm worshiping God. Did you know the devil believes the right things? Does the devil know Saturday is a Sabbath? But does he worship in his spirit? No. No. It's not enough just to believe the right things. That's important. But we also need to worship in our spirit. And that's why prayer and the Holy Spirit is so vital. We're missing out on so much, folks. I'm saying with this all the gentleness I can, and I speak to my own soul before I speak to any of you. We are not in tune with God. We are not connecting with the Holy Spirit and letting God speak to us as we should. As a people, other churches on this island are far overtaking us in getting the gospel out. We were the ones, the remnant movement, to get the gospel to the world. And we like hiding in our church with potlucks. That's not going to get the gospel to the world. We're not a people who was making a difference and a movement anymore in North America. But we could be. But we've got to be connected to the Holy Spirit. We've got to be sold out to Him. We've got to be praying. We've got to be listening and fasting and praying. And God will speak. You say, Christianity's not exciting to me. That's not God's fault. And that's not the church's fault. That's our own individual fault for not letting God's Spirit work in our lives. I've given you story after story about how God is working right up to the minute. And I'm no one special. It's simply because I'm a needy person. I realize my need of God. I'm probably the weakest among you. But I know it. I know that I'm weaker than you. So I seek God for strength because I can't do it without Him. And He'll do the same things for you, for all of us. So God will give us purpose in our heart to go on His biddings, to go on His missions, to speak to someone, to minister to someone. He'll do it. Next, you can be bound in your spirit. Acts 20, Paul says he went bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that would happen to him there. In other words, the Spirit said, Paul, you're going to Jerusalem. And Paul, he couldn't say, no, I want New York. He couldn't say, I want the Bahamas. He couldn't say anything else because the Spirit said, I am going to Jerusalem. There's no doubt about it because God bound His spirit to be there. Has God ever bound you? Has God ever said, look, I want you to do something, and it was a new thought. He said, this sounds crazy, but yet I've got to do it because God has bound my spirit to do it. A couple years ago, we were in our Sound of Rain prayer meeting like we have here, but we were in Niles with this. Marie and I were together. There was a seminary professor who went to church there, one of our elders, and he said, please pray about my upcoming trip to Thailand. And then he told of a mission that because this sermon goes out on the airwaves, I'm not going to describe that mission right now. It becomes a delicate matter. But I'm going on a mission. And he said, pray for me. All of a sudden, after he described his mission, I felt my spirit was bound. The Spirit spoke to me. The Spirit stirred my heart. And then He bound me. He said, John, you're going on that trip. Your wife wants you to go on that trip. God wants you to go on that trip. And though you don't have the money, you're going on that trip. And though you're not even invited yet, you're going on that trip. And though you only have a few weeks left, you're going. This all happened in a millisecond. And I said, wow, this is amazing. My wife wants me to go. And that was amazing because a couple years previous to that, I had gone to Peru, and all the kids and Maria all got sick at the same time while I was gone. So it was very hard on my wife, bless her heart. And she said, after that, you will never go on another mission trip ever again while the kids are young. I will pull your teeth out while you are sleeping. Well, I didn't want dentures at my, very young age. So I said, that's it. No more trips. But God bound my spirit, and I knew that she wanted me to go. She came, she ran up to me right after. She said, honey, you're going to Thailand. And it was no surprise to me because God had already told me that she wanted me to go. God had stirred her spirit and bound her to it. The professor that was going, you know, this is a trip. He's called, not me. We said, Bruce, I'm going. He says, yes, praise God. They want me to teach this certain area. I have not a single stitch of background in it, and I don't have time to prepare. Will you do it? I said, I will do it. At first of all, I was going to go just because I wanted to go, and I felt God. But no, He had a mission for me, and I told you that miracle. I won't go through it again. The first Sabbath I was here, I told you that miracle up here. Anyways, we didn't have the money to go, but God said we were going. Maria's patient called her. Maria, could you come and meet me after work? Maria said, uh-oh, I messed up one of my patients and she's going to get on my case. I'm in big trouble now. I'm praying, oh, Lord, please let it go easy, please. Oh, well, she gets there. She said, Maria, you told me about your husband going on this mission trip. And it's such a worthy thing. And my heart was so stirred, I took a collection at the Honda car dealership. You said, what? Yes, and the owner himself gave $500, and the rest gave $300-something, over $800. Please give this to your husband. My mission trip was mostly financed by non-Adventists who never even saw me in their life. God had told me, He bound my spirit, you're going, and it doesn't matter what those obstacles are, you are going. You see, God will stir your spirit. God will give you purpose in your spirit. And God will bind your spirit. You'll know for sure, I've got to do this. You're compelled to do it. And He will make a way. Finally, your spirit can give you peace about the right direction. You know, the Bible says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. You know, God is with it. I didn't struggle at that point. When I went to Korea, I told you, oh, no, I haven't told that whole story yet. That's another story. Anyways, your spirit can have peace. Paul, he struggled, but a door was opened to him by the Lord, and he says he had no rest in his spirit. What happened? What's happening here? No rest? People wanted him to go preach somewhere, but when he tried to do it, he didn't have peace about it. Just because a door is open doesn't mean you should walk through it. Did you know that? I get a little scared. Sometimes people say, I'll keep walking as the door. And sometimes that's true. But don't forget to pray. And let God give you extra guidance there. That's when you really need it. Because so many times people say, well, this person came into my life, or this job, or this, that. And just because it's an open door doesn't necessarily mean it's God's will. That's where we need the Holy Spirit to guide us by the principles of His Word, and then the Spirit to speak to us. Sometimes knowing God's will, sometimes is as simple as knowing whether or not you have peace about it. One thing's for sure, if you're not sure about something, you know what Isaiah 28 says? Isaiah 28:16 says, whoever believes will not act hastily. If you're not sure, pray. Search the Scriptures. God will speak to you in His Word. His Holy Spirit, pray. Linger in His presence. He'll never mislead you. You know, God's Ma still speaks today. I wasn't hit over the head in that car when God told me we were going to sell those books. There was no roaring lion. There was no great earthquake. It was a still, small voice. And when God spoke to Maria and I in the prayer meeting, there was no angels or flashing lights. It was God's still small voice. And the moth still whispers His life-changing, often life-saving words of guidance to us. Be still and know that I am moth. Know that I am the God who speaks softly to guide you. How would you like to walk with Enoch? Like Enoch did with God. Wouldn't that be beautiful? He was such the friend of God that God finally said, hey, I don't want to stop this conversation. And took him right up to heaven. I want to walk with God, don't you? I have a special kind of appeal today. I appeal to our church, those of you who are visiting, for your own churches. If there's an opportunity for prayer, well, you can do it at school, not just a minute. I organized this group at our college campus called Our Power, where we spent an hour every lunch. We ate our lunch and we went and we prayed for an hour. We sang every lunchtime in college, as busy as college is. Seminary, we had up to 3 prayer meetings a week. Not because we're great spiritual people, but because we needed to. We needed to because the time is short and there's so much to do. So I encourage you to find opportunities to pray. We have Sound of Rain at 5:30. You can't make that, Japanese church. Do another prayer time that you can get together with other members. It's so vital. And now, for the last part of the appeal this morning, I'm not going to ask anyone to come up, but if you would like to listen to God and spend more time with Him in your own private life, as well as seeking Him with others to hear His still small voice as a moth, I have a very simple thing for you to do. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you want to hear God speak more closely to you now, and you're willing to do something about it by praying and listening, I just ask you to put your hand over your ear and saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to listen, God. You're just saying, God, tune me in. Help me hear the frequency, the radio frequency waves of heaven, so I could hear the celestial choirs, so I could hear the Holy Spirit appealing to me. Lord, we have our ears on. We're all busy. We all live harried, hectic lives. I do too. And I don't always spend the time with you I need to. But Father, you help me and you always bring me back. And I pray you bring all of us as a church back and all of us as a people. And we don't have to be great warriors, prayer. We don't have to be prophets or Moses or Enochs. We just need to be people who realize that we need you. That's all. And you will speak guidance. You will speak peace. You will speak strength. And we will be strong in this world and in these last days. Thank you, Father. Let everyone who's listening be ready to listen, hear, respond, and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, we hear you, Lord. Amen.